run by inane media. There are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
There we go then. Okay, this is what episode? This is 53.
This is episode 53, that's right.
Welcome to episode 53 of the Magical Talking Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only, you know what this is? I had two beers yesterday.
Oh.
And it's still, you know.
Yeah.
The only podcast being simultaneously broadcast in every language on the planet except Esperanto.
Is that right?
Because we could tell right away that was going nowhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm Tony.
I'm William.
You have to say a lot. We've already had issues with the volume levels from Craig.
I'm William.
There you go.
And I'll be turning my head completely away from the microphone when I laugh from now on.
All the time. Or just don't laugh. Don't find anything funny.
I will not laugh.
Really, how tough can that be? No, I'm going to have to mess with the volumes this time because apparently Brits hate us.
Oh.
But they love my Welsh accent, so I find that interesting.
You know what? Every time I think of that, it just makes me laugh so hard, and I don't know why.
Because it's just, it's amazing how the quality of accent. But anyway.
So I don't want to think about it or I'll start laughing.
Don't laugh. This is a very surprising episode. In addition to being 2 days away from our anniversary.
And in a way, it's our anniversary show. Come on.
That's what you said. That's what you said last week also.
And you disagree with me, though.
I don't know. I find it complicated.
But why is it complicated? If you have 52 episodes, that's a year's worth.
But is it, though? Because 52 is... A year is not exactly 52 weeks.
Well, okay, no. It's not exactly 52 weeks.
And it is complicated
but
because...
But that's why it's not the 17th today. It's the 15th. But, you know.
But see, and so it's been 52 weeks. I think of this as the last episode of the year. Because here's the thing. How many weeks had it been at episode one?
Well.
0 weeks.
None, that's true.
So now it's been 52 weeks, and there are 52 weeks in the year. So this is like the last day of the year.
All right, but if this was the 17th, you wouldn't be saying that. Would you?
No, but it wouldn't. Statistically, I don't think it's possible that it would be.
Well, it'll be the 17th on a Thursday again. We'll have a
Yes, session. But it won't have been 52 weeks from the last
one. I see what you're saying.
I don't think.
I see what you're saying.
Math people, get on it.
I actually tried to figure all that out, like thinking, well, that if you're correct, then sometimes there's going to be 53 numbered episodes in a year, whatever that is, and then other times it's going to be 52 or I don't know. I don't really get it. It just seems like 52 is you know, that's how many weeks there are in a year, and we're only 2 days away from what would be our anniversary. And if it was the 17th today, I think you would agree that this we're starting over.
But I don't think it would be if it was episode 53.
It would be episode 52 or 54 or I mean
52, I think, potentially.
Huh. Well, I don't know.
Because it's been 52 weeks.
I see what you're saying.
Today it has officially been 50, where I mean, I guess yesterday at midnight it was 52.
So,
oh, which
because
means
we didn't,
technically today is the start of the new year.
Because we didn't start at zero.
Yeah. So I guess that means today could be the, I don't know.
Because you've got a point there. Each episode number isn't counting how many weeks it's been since we started.
No,
you'd have to take one away.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you're right.
But I don't see... A week isn't Thursday to Thursday. A week is Thursday through Wednesday.
Well, yeah, I guess.
So I don't know anymore. But we really should not waste time on this.
Sorry.
So we have, this is important things happening. First of all, I got you a treat.
You got me a treat.
Well, I got us a treat. I got me a treat a few days ago, and then okay. I say.
But you have to understand, I'm in the habit now of eating chocolate all the way over here.
So you've already had it?
I'm like really chocolated out.
So you don't want any 85% Lindt dark chocolate?
Well, give me some time, maybe.
I'm going to have some. Because I tried it, because it's very low carb compared to other chocolate.
Yeah, I'm in the habit now of just doing
it.
Oh,
it's so good.
Okay, but you have to understand, I just ate a whole bar.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, I gotta. That's my thing. That's how I roll. But once I've had a whole bar, it is hard for me to eat more. Even if it's really...
Based on what I read from this...
Chocolate.
That's more than 100% of your daily saturated fat from that bar.
Well, yeah, but keep in mind, I'm a vegetarian. I mean, I don't get a lot of fat.
You're a vegan.
Well, yeah, I avoid dairy, too, so that is even more so. I'm not vegan, strictly speaking. I do have dairy and eggs and food and stuff. Well,
breaking news, people.
Well, and even when I'm avoiding eggs and dairy altogether, I don't avoid honey at all. Vegans avoid honey. And my boots are leather, you know.
Don't eat your boots, though.
Yeah, but vegans don't typically wear leather either.
I think a vegan is specifically a dietary thing. I would agree that the Venn diagram of people who don't wear leather and people who are vegan has a lot of overlap. But I don't think not wearing leather is part of the definition of being a vegan.
Okay.
This stuff is so good.
Yeah, I know.
And it is really bitter on the end. But, oh, it's nice. It is weird. I'm really curious about this more because it is... I mean, I've always enjoyed dark chocolate, but there's something about crazy, crazy dark. Like, chemically, it feels different.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
yeah.
weird.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, that works that way for me. Maybe not for everybody, but it sounds like it might work that way for
you. Yeah, I feel like there's something going on.
Yeah.
Okay. That was one surprise.
Okay. I wish I'd known ahead of time. I might have.
I almost told you ahead of time.
I might have held back my
The other surprise... And okay, I lie a lot, people, but this is all totally legit, I swear. I get home tonight, stuck on my front door, is this.
It says, the magical talking hat care of Tony and William, and it's like a birthday card-like thing, envelope.
The hat got snail mail.
Well, of course, it doesn't have postage on it.
Hand-delivered, still.
Oh.
And I have no idea who from, and it's still sealed.
Oh, you haven't opened it yet?
No. We're going to do it on the show.
Oh, how? Wow, that sounds how nice.
So, I don't know. Yeah, it's a pink envelope with little stars all over it.
Yeah, it looks like there's a card in there, probably.
And it says, the magical talking hat care of Tony and William. So, we're going to open it now. We're going to see what this crap is about.
Huh. On the door, huh?
Yep. Stuck on the wreath that we still have on the door. Oh, those were dumbasses.
Wow. Is it gonna sing to us? Oh, look at that. It's got a little baby Minnie Mouse over a large pink with white polka dots one in a little cupcake with a candle in it because the hat's one.
Okay, it doesn't sing.
Oh, it doesn't sing.
What it says on the inside here is, how did you do it? In just one quick year, you learned to make everyone smile ear to ear. And now it's your birthday, so turn on your smile, be happy, and celebrate one-year-old style. Happy first birthday. And then it says, mm-hmm. handwritten, mm-hmm. congratulations on your first year of broadcasting greatness. Looking forward to many more.
Aww.
And then, in completely different handwriting, it says, anonymous. And William, who does not lie, unlike me, can attest that everything I have just said is true.
Wow.
And I have no idea where this came from.
Well, that's very nice.
Yeah. I didn't know any of our listeners know where I live, so I'm a little nervous now.
Well, there's... Huh. Well, some of them probably know.
I don't know. Freaking me out.
Let's see. Mark knows, doesn't he?
Yes, but Mark is both cheap and lazy and lives in Cedar Rapids now.
I don't know how lazy he is, but cheap, yeah, he'll even admit that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's not lazy. How could you say he's lazy? He's always saying stuff on our blog, and he helped us with our logo thing. That's not lazy. And he used to be on my team, so I know for a fact he's not lazy. Especially when compared to some people.
He used to be on my wife's team. We could ask her.
Wait, I shouldn't put that here. Put it back in the envelope, maybe.
No, this is how I know. I'm an expert on lazy.
Well, that's what you've always said, so... But how could you say that he's not lazy?
I am essentially the patron saint of the lazy.
Although coming here, that would be quite a thing. I mean,
Okay.
Unless he was already going to be here.
We could make it all about being cheap. Because it would the cost of gas.
Well, like, again, unless he was already going to be here. I mean, he comes to Iowa City sometimes.
You've convinced me. Mark gave us the baby Minnie Mouse card. Thank you, Mark.
Well, but what if it wasn't him? Who else?
I don't know.
Well,
Mark's our only listener.
Does Dan and Lisa ever listen?
No. They kind of work hard at not listening.
Could the producer have gotten this for you and she's just being cheeky?
Based on her reaction, I don't think so. She's not generally very good at lying to me.
You have some fairly attentive neighbors who, even though not listening, might know that this has been a year.
It is possible. In general, I don't want to overthink it.
Okay.
I'm good with not knowing.
I'm sorry. That's just what
it's
I do.
It's a beautiful thing.
I'm sorry.
Why must you take everything nice and turn it into some twisted carnival of the soul?
I don't know.
All right, then. So how was your week?
It was, you know, what it usually is. How about you?
I'm following the Republican primaries a lot, are you?
Oh, no.
Me neither.
And we wouldn't want to talk about it even if we were, would we?
I have to say this. Not about the Republican primaries. I am lazy. And in general, I like to live in my little bubble.
Oh, really?
I like my life. I kind of avoid the news.
Okay.
Because it's all bad.
I didn't know that.
And stuff like that. Yeah. There was a time when I only had AM radio. And I listened to NPR on my way back and from work. And this was when I commuted up to Cedar Rapids. I was very well informed and very depressed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of don't. And I freely admit, you know, it's escapist and I, you know, I'm in a position where I can get away with that shit. And so, you know, I'm not doing my best or whatever, but I do sort of try and I don't comment on a lot of stuff that's serious. But via Facebook, I have to say, there is a lot of really disturbing state and federal legislation going on right now in various states, basically trying to control the reproductive health of women.
Hmm.
And it's really starting to freak me out.
Hmm.
So for all of you, you know, six listeners, whatever percentage of you might be fairly liberal, I wonder, check this stuff out and see what's going on, because in your home state, there may be some really bad shit going down in terms of bills right now.
What do you think's bringing this about?
I don't know. There seems to be a rash of... I mean, at first I just thought it was sort of like one senator's campaign and stuff, but there just seems to be a rash of... a lot of varying things tied into reproductive health. I mean, there's obviously all the shit around Rush Limbaugh and all that stuff, but there have been other just weird ones around that really are bothering me, because I am not a woman, but I'm a big fan. And generally speaking, I consider myself sort of biased in the sense that I consider women far more capable than men in a lot of ways. But I realize that's my problem and I have to deal with it. But I absolutely believe that, you know, I have no business dictating what goes on in someone else's body,
mm-hmm.
regardless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me, the stuff that's going on. I mean, even, you know, pro-choice, pro-life, you know, that's an argument that is almost impossible to have. at any point now. But even that aside, even your position of that aside, some of this stuff is just amazing. And to me, if you have a strongly held position, for example, pro-life.
Okay.
And you feel that current law put forth with Roe v. Wade, you know,
mm-hmm.
does not uphold this belief.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's atrocious to try and do an end run and find other weird ways to a little bit make things hard. Like, fight that law if you're opposed to that law, but don't try and just fuck everything up. Say, okay, well, if you're going to have that law that I disagree with, I'm going to make sure you suffer for it.
Well, of course, though, keep in mind that it's hard. It might be harder to fight the lack of a law than to fight a law, because that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, there is a philosophy, you know, here. It's a lot of people who have these arguments, they sort of put it in the moral sphere, but there's also the legal sphere that has really nothing to do with morals or anything else. You know, for example, a lot of people would agree, even people who aren't particularly religious might agree that adultery is a bad thing, but it's not illegal in, well, anywhere that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, whether or not something is immoral or not really has no bearing on whether or not it should be against the law. There's other things to consider, and so what's you know what's happening here, I think, is that you know they want there to be a law that doesn't exist, and whether or not people want to acknowledge this or realize this or not, we live in a country that at its foundation doesn't really see a law as an inherent good. Like, well, you know, if something's bad, then there should be a law. Well, no, we don't as a country generally believe that. You've got to be able to prove that this law is going to be good or serve some purpose or whatever. And, you know, apparently the people who would like there to be a law against abortion have figured out that they're just not able to put up an argument that's good enough to accomplish that. So they'll do other things instead. And again, I'm not commenting on one way or the other about what should or shouldn't be. I'm just saying that seems to be legally what's going on, or, you know, in the legal sphere what's going on. But it gets muddied by a bunch of moral, you know, debate. Yeah.
I know that we still live in a very sexist world. I feel like a lot of stuff, particularly in the legislative sphere, has really been just, there's been a tidal wave of it in recent weeks. And it bothers me. And there's nothing, you know, I'm going to go back to living in my bubble because I'm a big fucking hypocrite. But insofar as I have the ability to reach literally twos of people who pretty much already know all this shit and already agree with me, I wanted to get the word out.
Well, it's also a reaction to so-called Obamacare. You realize that, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because as the conservative so-called people feel that the liberals, so-called, are now trying to take over healthcare, well, then, you know, the response is, okay, you're not, healthcare is not going to pay for, you know, birth control pills or whatever the thing is going to be. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's,
that doesn't speak to all of them, though.
No, I realize that, but it's all kind of, there's sort of a feedback loop going on, and it's sort of, you know, escalating. Well, I think this might explain too why Santorum is still even being talked about right now. I mean, for the most part, when he did well in Iowa, it was very much a Mike Huckabee part two kind of thing, and should have gone completely just the way Huckabee's campaign went. But and the truth of the matter is, when you look at just the numbers, it's not like Santorum is really doing that great. I mean, Romney is so far ahead of everybody else, and it would be very difficult to imagine him not getting the nomination. However, just the fact that Santorum's campaign didn't dry up as quickly as Huckabee's did makes people, you know, have some pause. And the reason that's happening is because, you know, the people who call themselves conservative are doing a fairly good job of convincing everybody that the president is super liberal and wants to take over the world and is a socialist and a Muslim and maybe who knows what else. And so, you know, that's kind of mobilizing people. Not enough, I don't think enough to have Romney lose the nomination, and I don't think enough even to allow Romney to win the general election, but enough that these things that you're noticing are happening. But who knows how it's all going to come out.
Okay, it's on you now, listeners. I've done my bit. Fix it. Get on it. Should we dig to the hat?
Well, sure. You don't have a whole bunch of other things to talk about?
I do, but we're like 20 minutes in, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
I did it
my
again.
My topic.
I did it again, didn't I?
You didn't do it. I was the one who started that whole thing.
Yeah, but then I started talking about all this stuff.
You and your speech.
What's wrong with me?
Power of speech.
Okay, so this is from Stuart.
Stuart.
Who says, Dear Mr. Hat.
No. Stuart says,
Well, he doesn't write like that, okay?
So no, it's a dialect.
It's Dear Mr. Hat. Do you like to drive it like you stole it? Or would Miss Daisy approve of your driving? Cheers, Stuart.
I think this is going to have to go into the top five crappiest questions we've ever had.
You know what my family says? They don't say drive it like you stole it.
No one does.
They say drive it like a rental.
Ah.
That tells you something about my family right there. You don't have to steal a vehicle to abuse it. You can rent it.
Oh, God. I have to tell you, this is a story from the producer. I wake up this morning and I have an email from her from last night because something cracked her up so much she had to email me about it for when I woke up in the morning.
Okay.
So, you're familiar with the contractions could have, would have, you know, and these are short for...
Well, could have, would have.
Exactly.
Should have.
Yes. A common misuse that cracks people up is that that's actually short for...
I don't know.
Could of.
Oh, could of.
Would
oh.
of. Should of.
What does that even mean?
Exactly.
Oh, I see.
It's stupid. And people do it, and you laugh at them in their ignorance. The producer saw a new tier to this last night.
Okay.
When somebody... Oh, I gotta find the actual bit. Because the phrase is hilarious, but in the you need the context, I think.
Okay. And while you're looking that up, I guess we'll just go ahead and say, for the record, that the hat can't drive and...
Hat don't drive. Okay, here we go. So the actual email says, so for a while now, we've been seeing people type could of or should of when they meant should have / could have. But tonight, I saw something new. Quote, personally, I'm pretty quick to judge that kind of thing. K-I-N-D
oh, no way.
Apostrophe V-E.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's...
I'm totally sarcastic using the phrase kind have.
Wow. That's amazing.
I'm quick to judge that kind have thing.
Huh. This is actually kind of interesting from a linguistic
kind standpoint. Kind have. Can have interesting.
From a linguistic standpoint, because...
Come on, say right. It's actually kind have interesting.
Kind have interesting.
What do heck?
I suppose we could also answer this question from our own perspectives, and that is... I'm actually very hard on vehicles, I have to admit. I I'm not one of those guys that stands on the brake or anything like that, but the way I'm hard on vehicles is I accelerate too fast coming off of a light or something.
Oh.
And I also...
It's bad for the mileage.
Yeah, I know. I mean, here we drive a Prius, and I'm sure the mileage is terrible because I'm always gunning the gas. I don't know if that's saying I drive it like I stole it, but I don't treat the car very well.
But do you drive it like you rented it?
No. When my family talks about driving something like you rented it, gunning the gas is one thing. Riding the brake, stopping abruptly and in general, not driving not well. Whether or not Miss Daisy would approve of my driving, I think not. I don't think my passengers are generally happy with my driving. I try to be considerate and whatever, but...
Wait. And is this because all the screaming I do when we're in the car and you're driving? Like, because that's just for fun.
I mean, nobody's
when
ever...
When I say we're all going to die, we're all going to die. I'm just teasing. I mean, I don't...
Nobody complains or anything, but I usually when I'm driving somebody for the first time, I can kind of tell that...
Is this for the time I wet myself when we were in the car?
I've never even driven you anywhere, I don't
you
think.
You have
to. I don't remember.
That's how I met Nadine.
Oh, yeah. Well, one, you know, one time when we were working at that software company that we used to work at...
Microsoft people. We worked at Microsoft.
The managers all went somewhere and I drove a van. We almost had an accident.
I'm not surprised.
But it wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
And I did avoid it, so.
All right.
But I drove the van.
I think I did pretty good. The one thing that has always stuck with me, I'm not a huge fan of Dave Barry, the columnist, but the one that I've always liked and I always consider true is the one thing that all people have in common, regardless of race, creed, age, anything, is we all believe that we personally are an above average driver.
Well, but I don't.
Again, I'm going to have to invoke the William Clause.
Well, maybe I don't know. I mean, I've...
The important thing is statistically it doesn't matter. Because I can say everyone in the world, and it doesn't have to mean you.
Well, that's true.
This is what I'm saying. This is the William Clause.
Okay, but I mean, I've avoided tons of accidents that, you know, someone else almost caused. And I think that speaks sort of well to my driving. But I don't think that I'm really that
great a driver. I always used to think I was an above average driver. I guess I still ultimately do think that. The producer and I both consider ourselves to be pretty good drivers. And I think we each consider ourselves to be slightly better than the other one. I think is sort of how it goes.
Well, I wonder what an average driver is. How do you define that? Like, for example, I'm 43 years old. I've not been in any accidents. I have been in near accidents and avoided them.
You have been in one accident.
Well, not... Oh, that's... But I was in a parking lot. I mean, someone ran into me.
You were in a car.
Well, that's true.
I'm just saying...
But
it's entirely possible that you parked in such a way that you were asking for it.
Yeah, sure.
Just so you people don't, if you don't know, William totally got T-boned by a semi.
No, it was a utility van.
Okay, utility van. A guy that fell asleep. And in addition to getting hit by this, he was blocking a bunch of people just standing there that totally would have gotten run over.
Yeah, they would have been killed.
If he had not been there to take the brunt of it with a car.
That still really freaks me out.
Freaks everybody out. Except for the guy who fell asleep.
He fell asleep at the wheel. He came off the road and into a parking lot and hit me while I was just sitting there. I wasn't idling. The car was in gear, but I was waiting for someone to get out of the
William
way.
Had not gone out to the car to smoke a joint while he was waiting for the others, people might be dead.
No, I'd just gotten there. I hadn't... You know, if I'd arrived even 30 seconds later, those people would be dead. It's just weird.
What does that make you?
I don't want to think about it.
Big damn hero.
No, it doesn't. It was an accident.
Big damn accidental hero.
What would make me a hero is if I saw the guy coming and deliberately pulled in to the... But I didn't do that. I was just sitting there. But, yeah, does that really count?
Oh, ask your insurance company.
Well, anyway, the point is, you know, I don't know how you define an average driver. And I might be above average if I've had fewer accidents than most other people have had at my age. Or fewer tickets or fewer something else.
Yes. Largely, the comment has to do with the fact that it is impossible for everyone to be an above-average driver, by
definition.
Yes,
that's true.
And yet, pretty much everybody always thinks they are. I have not met anybody who's like, I'm a really shitty driver. And the number of people out there who are really shitty drivers, bigger than zero.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just avoiding me.
Well, maybe the people who are really horrible drivers, just the reason they're horrible drivers is they don't think about it at all. I mean, they don't even reflect on the quality of their driving. So if you were to ask them, they probably wouldn't even know what to say because they've never thought about it.
I hate those people. Gonna run them over with my car.
But the people who say they're above average drivers, obviously they think a little bit about driving and whether or not they're any good at it, right?
Enough to convince themselves they're fine. Mm. as I said originally, one of the five worst questions we've ever had.
I didn't know you had a top five.
I'm not even sure there's five in there yet.
Oh, okay.
But there have been a couple. Usually there's some weird quote. But then they're Welsh sometimes.
Now, some people who drive poorly, yeah, they're not going to say, I'm a horrible driver. But they might say something like, yeah, I drive my car like I stole it. You know what I'm saying?
I know people who admit that they speed and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they still think they're a badass.
Oh, yeah, well. Like, I have been one of those guys who's, zipping in and out of traffic and stuff. I've been one of those guys. I'm not proud of it, but there it is.
But it saved lives, damn it. So don't you judge.
No, it was probably terrible.
Don't judge him. Don't you do it.
Made people nervous and got people mad.
I've gotten really good.
I've never cut anybody off. I don't do that. But, you know, a lot of people get nervous when they see someone zipping in and out like that.
I read an interesting book one time that sort of, I don't want to get into what the whole book was about, but it was partially dealing with some ethical stuff. And a very good example they used was how you think of and deal with people driving. And it really kind of stuck to home. And it's gotten to the point now, I pretty much never really get mad when I'm driving. I'm pretty good at whenever somebody does something, I stop and think, I can totally think of a time when I've either done that or I might have done that, and there was usually a damn good reason for it.
Yeah, well, except that I've done those things plenty of times without a good reason.
Well, I don't mean good, but I mean like something really serious was going on that was distracting me.
Oh, I was in a hurry.
It was still no excuse, but that's probably what's going on with them. It's not just that they're a jackass.
Yeah, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
And I've gotten pretty good at it over the years. So yeah, so anger while driving is something I have pretty good control over now.
I only went through a really brief period where I'd get angry driving.
I still get pissed at cyclists.
Well, yeah, I know.
I get pissed at cyclists because they need to make up their mind. Legally, we treat them like cars.
Mm-hmm.
Colloquially, we treat them like walkers. And in practice, most of them sort of try and play it half and half, and I'm not okay with that. If you want me to treat you like a car, that is great. Don't go on the sidewalk. Don't drive ahead when there's a red light so you're right up at the front, because legally, you don't get to do that.
Well, and don't just go through the light when you know nobody's
also
coming.
Also true, yes. Like, you can't have it, but pick one.
One time I was, when I was in college and I was living in a house with a whole bunch of other people, I got home and there was, now that I'm thinking about this, I don't remember if it was, the envelope was sort of taped to the door. That should have been a dead giveaway now that I think about it. No, I think I got it in the mail, postmarked and everything. And it was supposedly from some official bicycle association or something, saying that I drove recklessly near a bicyclist, and they wrote down my license plate number and reported me.
And this was in the 90s, I'm guessing?
No, this was in the late 80s.
Oh, that's some early freethinkers.
Okay, but here's the problem. I didn't own a car. I was driving a car, and the license plate number they had was a car I was driving, and I probably did pass a bicyclist, and maybe I didn't give him enough room or whatever, but there's no way they could have gotten my name or address from that license plate number.
Well, and there's just so much, like, the lying aside, there's so much wrong with it. Like, it's so unhelpful.
Well, yes, and also they mentioned that, you know, the bicyclists are supposed to have all the rights and responsibilities of the road. And that was the first time I'd ever heard that expression.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, wow, I don't think, there's probably bicyclists who are listening, and I don't want to offend you, but I have to say, at least here in Iowa, I don't think I've ever seen a bicyclist who acted like they cared about the responsibilities of the road.
I have seen some.
I can't remember.
In general, though, that's the thing. I am all for bike rights, but they only work if you also accept bike responsibilities,
well,
and
right.
Most of them don't.
Right. And, you know.
And most, and sort of go both ways. We have some on our commute to work drive us crazy because we are on a street and we finally pass them, nice and legally, wait till there's plenty of space, so we give them room and stuff, and then we get up to the traffic light, and it's red, and we wait, and they just cruise past us, and we have to do it all over again.
Yep, yep.
Or, if they want to drop something off, there's a mailbox near there, and sometimes they do, they just drive along the sidewalk for that block or two.
Now, when
I'm
this...
I'm like, you can't...
Yeah, when...
Legally?
Now, when these
I
things...
I can't do that with my car!
When these things happen, I don't... I mean, I have, again, I have a lot of friends who are bicyclists. I like to bicycle.
I know lots of, I'm big into bicycles. I like it.
I like to bicycle myself, and I don't have a problem with bicyclists. I just don't know why, you know, just about every experience I've ever had with one on the road, that particular bicyclist, not bicyclists in general, but that particular one, does things that they're really not supposed to be doing. And, but, you know, here also here in Iowa City, they've tried to put in a very extensive bike trail system so that, you know, there's less of a problem with...
I heard that was mostly for the sake of independent filmmakers.
Well, you know, another problem with, and, you know, this...
With bikes is that they tend to explode when they hit trees?
Yeah, if you've just greased the chains. But yeah. A problem that a lot of bicyclists face that I have complete sympathy for... is a lot of times you'll have bike lanes on the road, you know, and that's something that local governments do to help bicyclists out. But that doesn't take into account the fact that most of the debris and trash on a road ends up over in that section of the road. And and with a bicycle tire, you're more likely to get a puncture or something.
And and to be fair, a lot of motorists... do not give bicyclists the right they should have.
No, that's true.
Now I'm going to say that they are not a persecuted minority.
No, I completely sympathize with all of those issues that bicyclists have. But then, of course, I also sympathize with some of the issues that motorists have with bicyclists. I personally, when I ride a bicycle, I don't even want to be on the road.
Yeah.
But I understand that the sidewalk is for pedestrians. I mean, I don't know what the solution is, but... you know, maybe it is if for cities to sort of dedicate a little more resources to bike trails, and that not just to cater to a small group of people who are bicyclists, which, and again, I count myself as a bicyclist.
Independent filmmakers, yes.
But to encourage people to ride bicycles rather than drive, you know, fossil fuel guzzling cars. I think, you know, I like to ride a bicycle too, but I don't like to ride on the road because I think it's dangerous. And I don't blame other bicyclists for not liking motorists being dangerous about it, but also it's not just dangerous for the bicyclists, it's often dangerous for the motorists too, because when there's a bicycle in the road, you have to take into account all kinds of things, and all kinds of things can go wrong, not just with the bicyclists, but with oncoming traffic, and it's almost a hazard. So, you know, to me it's a fairly complicated issue, and I can see both sides of it. I don't have a problem with bicyclists, but I also understand the motorist's concern. But
so there you go, Stu. We hope that answered your question.
Well, we did answer the question because the hat doesn't drive.
No. So screw you, Welshie. All right, my
screw
turn.
Screw you, Welshie?
Welshie.
But thanks.
It's that Stuart.
But thanks anyway, Stuart.
Yeah.
He's
not listening because he got Mass Effect 3.
Oh, he did.
He's totally not listening anymore. He got it last night. I'm trying to hook up his wife with other single men because he's basically dead to them now. All right. Oh, this is an anonymous one.
Oh, like
I say anonymous, and what anonymous means by the hat's definition is that the email in question did not have a name at the end, like a signature. It is entirely possible that it came from an email who had the name in the email and that the hat might even have recognized. But, as we all know, the rules of the hat are, if there is no name at the end, it is considered anonymous out of respect for those who wish to be anonymous. So, you might want to keep that in mind if you don't want to be anonymous. And I don't really know why I just brought all that up right now. It's just sort of a random coincidence. But anyway, this one, for whatever reason, is anonymous.
Well, we haven't talked about that for a long time.
Yes.
And now it's been a whole year that we've been broadcasting.
And it's entirely possible that this individual sent other emails with their name and probably wanted their name on this one, but didn't do it. Hypothetically speaking, I wouldn't know. I'm not the hat.
No,
anyway.
Only the hat knows.
This question by Anonymous goes, Magical Talking Hat Podcast. Why doesn't McDonald's sell hot dogs? This makes up for Stuart's question.
Oh, that's a good question. This is an awesome question. Yes, it really is.
Because hot dogs, wonderful things, incredibly American food stuff, tasty, cheap as all hell to make, because, let's be honest, they're literally, you don't even decide. You just, you take an animal, you get what you want off of it, and whatever's left, you make into a hot dog. So, like, you can't get a cheaper meat product.
No, probably not.
And they're tasty. McDonald's could just sell the crap out of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand. And sometimes they'll do brats. Like in,
what?
They'll do Johnsonville brats for a short period of time.
Really? I've never heard of that.
I think it may be tied around football season, but they have them occasionally.
Huh.
And those are nice. I like when they do that.
I've never known.
Hot dogs, though, just seems like a really untapped market. I've always been fond of hot dogs as much as any kid growing up in America.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a couple of documentaries on like the history of the hot dog and stuff. It was fascinating, and it's really, I mean, I know frankfurters, you know, came from, and it's just, it's a variation on sausage and stuff like that, and we didn't, but the hot dog really is very much an American tradition. And it's really fascinating, and it's still a big thing. There's, you know, there's different weird hot dogs all over the country and stuff.
Well, one could ask the same question about any burger selling fast food chain. Why doesn't Wendy's?
True,
why doesn't...
and yes, and DQ is the only one that know that does it.
Well, A&W does, or they have for years, okay, as far as I know.
That's true. That's true. They got they call them ponies.
Didn't Sonic?
Sonic also does. Sonic has recently gotten big into it. They have all these different varieties now. Maybe this will be a sign for the future.
But it does make one wonder. You know, A&W has for years. I mean, for as long as there's been A&W restaurants, they've sold hot dogs, as far as I know. Coney dogs, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Why did that never catch on with McDonald's or Burger King or
Impossible's? I don't know. It seems so simple. I mean, theoretically, okay, I'm going to try and
especially
make the argument.
Now, especially when they'll sell fish sandwiches and chicken sandwiches. And you know what I'm saying? It's not like they didn't venture out. Well, and Hardee's even sold fried chicken for a while, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
a lot of these restaurants have ventured away from just burgers.
I have one thing that might make the argument here. I'm going to try it. I'm not saying I agree. I'm playing devil's advocate, by which I mean McDonald's advocate, which I think is self-explanatory. McDonald's is the devil. I'm saying McDonald's is the devil. Tasty, tasty devil. Bun. I cannot use the hot dog bun for anything else.
Well, that's true.
We have very similar buns for things. I mean, I know we have the sesame seed and the nut or whatever, but seriously, like the bun on the baby cheeseburger, same as the Filet-O-Fish bun.
Yeah, right, right.
And the sesame seed bun, you know, quarter pounder, it's also for the third Angus, and, you know, it's the very same. Hot dog bun, hot dog bun.
Well, that's true. Also, as someone who's worked in some of these places, I can tell you that, you know, the, like, I was saying that they have fish sandwiches and chicken sandwiches or whatever. Well, they have fryers for the fries. So
you don't
need any new special equipment to sell those things. To cook hot dogs, you know, you can't just put it on the grill if you grill the hamburgers. And the flame broiling thing that a lot of restaurants do, like Hardee's and Burger King, is specifically automated for
burgers
not hot dogs. So you would have to have some special machine to do it. Not that that should make a big difference, but that is true. So
yeah, no. I think that would be a good thing. Yeah, I mean, I think it. But the variable here, because they can sit down, the devil and his cabinet can sit down and know pretty specifically how much it's going to cost.
Well, especially since other restaurants have done it.
What they can't know is how much they will sell. And so it may be the whole conservatism of big business. In the same way, like we've talked about this with the filmmaking industry. You know, better to go with what you know that's safe than take a risk on something new. And so it may be
Yeah, right, but still, they're like...
They're estimated profit. I feel like those would sell like crazy.
Well, I know, and again, looking at Hardee's, again, and how they went with fried chicken for a while, you know, and you can say, well, they were basing that on success of Kentucky Fried Chicken or something like that, but
well,
again...
they still do fried chicken at some Hardee's, okay. Generally in smaller towns.
Okay, well, but so then you have A&W, who's been selling hot dogs forever, and I'm fairly sure they make a fairly brisk trade in it, so I don't... that strikes me as being, oh, here's some success, and we could do that. And Sonic is a newer chain that's done it. So you'd think at some time, and surely it's been considered.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody at McDonald's is going, dude, we never thought of that. Like, yeah, it's got to.
So, but there must be some big block.
And it's got to be a numbers thing.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
I mean, it's certainly not going to be a moral reason or even a logistical reason. I mean, freaking
but
McDonald's.
It just seems to me like the equipment... And, you know, the buns can only be used for one thing. It seems like those two things could be overcome fairly easily.
But then there is the prohibitive cost of hot dog training. Teaching people how to cook a hot dog. It is
well, now, here's another thing. And this may be significant because we already have some evidence that this is an issue with places like McDonald's. The hot dog market is... fairly dominated by pork products, really.
Yeah, well,
and,
yeah.
And
yeah,
when,
yeah.
In fact, in most of the places I know of that sell hot dogs and sell a lot of them, they specifically advertise that their hot dogs are beef.
Yeah, all beef hot dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe there's an issue with... Maybe there's an issue with getting... Maybe beef hot dogs are fairly rare and hard to get, maybe fairly expensive, and
more
they just don't want to...
Yeah.
And what I was getting at with this, we know that chains have dealt with this before, is the way McDonald's handles their only pork product, right?
Yes, the McRib.
It's periodic. They don't
based
offer...
Based on the volatile nature of the market.
Yeah, they don't offer it all the time.
No.
So it could be that, well, they've thought about hot dogs, but... The only models they have to work on are the beef hot dogs, and that's problematic. Because let's face it, A&W, even though they've been selling hot dogs forever and they're beef hot dogs, it's not like their market share is huge.
No.
So, know what I'm saying. And I don't know about Sonic, but although
well,
the Sonic here
sure,
recently closed.
I'm not sure. Did it close?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
In Coralville.
Really?
Closed. Well, unless it moved.
Really?
The one they had out in Coralville, that it looked like they put that stoplight in just for that.
Yeah.
It's closed.
Oh, wow.
But the light still works, which annoys me. well, because now there's a bank there. So
I'm not sure that Sonic, because I tried those when they came out. I was real excited.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some shitty hot dogs. Like, not, the stuff they did to it was fine, but the actual hot dog,
mm-hmm.
Really crap. Like,
oh, I see.
You're low. So I'm not sure that, but you're right. I think the devil's hot dog would be beef. Probably.
Well, I'll bet there's...
Because if the devil makes them themselves, why use the pork when you're going to throw that in the McRibs, which are ridiculously popular with the model they use for them?
Right.
So the devil probably either would have to steal resources from the McRib or make a beef hot dog.
I'll bet there's something about making a beef hot dog that makes it... It probably, you know, because McDonald's and...
I like this phrase, the devil's hot dog. I think that might be the title of the episode.
McDonald's and... Here's something else you need to understand about all business in the United States is they... A lot of their business models sort of are built around what they used to call... I don't know if they call this anymore, but they used to call them price points. In other words... If they think they can make a product, but they'd have to charge too much for it, they won't do it.
Yeah,
because that's going to price them out of their own market and whatever. Because
no one will buy it.
Because nobody will buy it. I mean, maybe because the thing is, maybe
not enough people will buy it, so that the total profit is there.
Well, that and. Also, they're not going to market to the people who would buy it. Let's put it another way. The people who eat at McDonald's are a particular group of people, and they're not going to make commercials to appeal to somebody else. These are the people they're trying to sell to. And if they think they're going to the hot dog will be too expensive for the people that normally go to McDonald's to buy it, then they won't make it.
So which makes sense.
And the thing is, A&W prices are not typical fast food prices. They never have been. So I suppose that they just probably, they think if they have to go with beef, it would be too expensive. I'll bet that's what it is.
And to be fair, it's entirely possible, likely I think even, that the hot dog is grandfathered in on A&W. When A&W started as a little baby thing in, I don't know
where. Yeah, that's right.
They had hot dogs and it came through or whatever. Yeah. When McDonald's started, they had hamburgers.
That's right.
I'm not even sure they had fries at that point. They had hamburgers.
Right. Yep, that's right.
So it may be a grandfathering in thing.
Well, that's, but and again, I don't think.
I mean, Sonic not only has hot dogs, they got corn dogs.
Yeah. I don't think that A&W's prices have ever been like fast food type prices.
It's comparable. I've eaten there not long ago.
But I don't remember ever hearing about an A&W value menu or anything crazy.
No,
like
they
that.
Have combo things. They have combo meals
and
stuff.
I mean, I haven't eaten like food at A&W.
A&W as a company has a bit fallen apart.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't really even find A&W restaurants anymore.
And when you do, they're frequently like they're not an A&W any. Like they still got the name, but it's privately owned and has a menu that may or may not tie into the. And you do find them some places, but like the place I am recently is at an airport.
Yeah, or they're combined with a convenience store. Yeah. And for a while, they shared space with Long John Silver's in a lot of places.
And A&W has the best cheddar nuggets out there right now.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Oh, those are really good.
I'd still go for the root beer, of course, and the onion rings. I'm quite a root beer fan, for people who don't know.
And A&W, he is a fan of A&W root beer.
A&W is my favorite.
I was raised on Diet A&W in the bottle from the store.
Diet, huh?
Yeah. Well, I was raised on diet soda in my house.
Oh, I see.
But when we would go to Silver Creek Park, Silver Creek Falls in Silverton was an A&W, and we would have root beer floats.
Oh, okay.
There, and that was nice. And that was the place where you ordered from your table and had the little phone hooked up. And I loved that.
They still have a restaurant like that in Indianola, Iowa. Mm-hmm. And they still make it fresh every day, the root beer.
The phone? Oh, okay.
The root beer.
All right. We don't got a lot of minutes left, and I figure you want to get to a third question.
Yes, yes.
So, thank you, Anonymous. We start the movement. We will be there. I will buy some hot dogs. William will not.
No, I won't.
He's a hippie. But I will buy two and eat his.
Well, this one's got some digestive juices all over
it. Ew!
I always hate that. But it's from Blood Sparrow.
Blood Sparrow! Digested Blood Sparrow. That sounds weird.
Did you read The 4-Hour Body? Why is it so weird?
Did I read The 4-Hour Body?
I don't even know what that is.
No, it's a book by Tim Ferriss. I told you about this.
You did?
A long time ago now. This is probably an old question. Tim Ferriss wrote a book on time management called The 4-Hour Work Week. Huge success. So then he wrote a book about... Do you remember when I started doing my high-protein breakfast thing?
I kind of, yeah.
That was from him.
Oh.
And I bought his book. I have his book. I did not read his book yet. And it does have weird stuff because he's not a nutritionist or health guy or whatever. What he did was basically experiment on himself and on close friends, I believe, and find out all this shit about the body. And among other things, supposedly, there are sections in... I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there on health and weight loss and ways to work out that are really easy and stuff like that. But then there's like a chapter on how to have a 15-minute orgasm interspersed in the midst of all the rest of this stuff. So it's a very weird book. But it's very popular, and I'm curious. The stuff I'm doing now because of diabetes is similar to a lot of the stuff that he's got in there.
But it's eclectic, is what you're saying. The information is very... It's like he learned a bunch of this stuff and he just put it all in there, not
he
necessarily...
He just spent a few years screwing with him. I mean, I don't know... I can't speak to the layout of the book, even. But it just... It has weird elements. It is stuff about your body. And to use sort of the popular current nomenclature, hacking your body, as it were.
Oh, I see.
In interesting ways. And it's pretty much anything he found that he thought people might want to try out. And so it's not, you know, a weight loss book or a nutrition book or something like that. It's just got a lot of stuff in it. I haven't yet read it yet. I may do it soon. Unfortunately, I am mired deeply right now in... Well, first of all, I've not finished Harbingers. I know I said I would by this point. It didn't happen. I have not read this week. I'm not sure why. But I'm also getting deep into game design theory, role-playing game design theory. Yes, I've gotten as geeky as I possibly can.
Craig's influence, I take it.
David's influence, actually.
No, well, what, Craig?
Craig's the guy from Britain.
Oh, sorry, Craig. And David, because I should have known it was David. Because that's the guy you were
David's influence, although actually I'm finding stuff he hasn't. I've sent stuff to him recently. It's very weird. I'm having some existential crises over this and stuff. I'm reading some stuff that is really getting to the root of why people want to play role-playing games, what they hope to get out of it, what things you do to try and achieve that, and what things you do that work counter to that. And it's really got me asking, sort of like, why do I want to do role-playing games? And how can I do them in ways that give me more of what I want out of them? And it's very interesting. And I want to apply that to my players and sort of see what they want to get out of role-playing games and whether or not those are compatible. And, you know,
well, of course,
like that.
What you want to get out of it is absolute power.
And that's what I want to get out of life.
Oh.
But I'm very lazy.
I thought role-playing games was like part rehearsal and part the lazy thing where, well, I'll never control the whole world, but I can control these people for this little space.
See, this is what I thought too, but from what I'm reading, I'm not sure it is.
Really?
Yeah.
So what is your motivation then?
I don't know. I can say at this point, I have firmly held the belief that I was a narrativist, and now I am seeing signs that I may be a simulationist, or at least have operated under these principles.
I don't know what a narrativist
is. And whether or not... Exactly! This is the problem.
What is a narrativist?
It would take a very long time to explain. I can send you the article.
Okay.
Or the essay.
Sure.
It's a long essay. It's very dense. But part of the usefulness of it is it gives a framework with which to talk about these things. It gives concepts and terms that make things work better. And that was sort of why I jumped on it originally. But now I'm reading follow-up essays that sort of go into more depth about certain modes of gameplay and stuff. And that's where I'm finding these questions about myself and life and things.
Well, how fortuitous, really. I mean, it's good to read something, no matter what it is, that makes you reflect on your own life and motives and everything else.
Yes.
I think.
But I'm lazy, and it's tiring me out.
Kind of like, you know, I've been reading Jung, as you know, and that's really kind of made me think about my own, you know, dreams, for example, or my own unconscious and subconscious. Not that I don't think about those things normally, because obviously I do, but, you know, when you're reading someone talking about it, it sort of makes you push things a little bit further than you might normally do. And I'm going to start on William James here pretty soon, so that's exciting for me.
Some of us call him Bill James.
Well, I'm not on a first name basis.
So you know how the producer and I always mix up William and William?
The Williams you, that you know?
You and my 4-year-old nephew.
Yes.
And there's this constant sickness that when one of us is talking about a William, the other automatically thinks the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's stuff like me talking about William being potty trained.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just for a second, she's like, what? It hit me the other day. The obvious, the super obvious.
What's that?
In addition to being called William, he's not a Bill, he's not a Willie. He's frequently called Will, however.
Hmm.
And you are never called Will.
Well, not that you know of.
Yes. So if we start saying William for you and Will for him, it won't ever be an issue again.
Hmm. Okay.
We'll see how that works in practice. You are toilet trained, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's really something I should have asked before I let you sit on my furniture.
Well, I was surprised you didn't, but I thought maybe you just assumed.
Yeah.
Most people do.
But when you assume, you make an ass out of you and Jim McGregor.
That's right.
You have no idea the lengths to which that has gone out into the world.
Oh, it has not.
No, seriously.
Have we even explained it on this broadcast?
No, but I have spread it to like four different places of business that don't know you from Adam. Seriously, I have taken it across my multi-story.
Well, I do think it's a funny story. I don't know if other people do. You obviously appreciate it.
Explain it.
Well, when I worked for a furniture store called McGregor's, the store's... Well, you know, I think he was the grandson of the store's founder.
I didn't even realize it was McGregor's Furniture.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think he was the grandson of the founder, and his name was Jim McGregor, after his father and after the guy before that, I guess. But he worked at the local McGregor store, and sometimes we worked in the warehouse, and the warehouse wasn't attached to the store. And sometimes, as often happens in situations like that, we would not have all the information we needed to fill an order or whatever. And rather than take time to call, and we couldn't often get the person we needed to talk to, we would sport a guess. And sometimes that wouldn't work out very well. And in those times, Mr. McGregor would come down to the warehouse, and he would ask us what happened. And we would say, well, we didn't have enough information, and we couldn't reach who we needed to reach, and we had to get everything on the truck, and so we just assumed that XYZ. And, of course, he would use the now age-old dictum of, well, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. Because the word assume, you know, if you don't know this, as A-S-S-S-U-M-E, me, if you aren't aware of that. So that was kind of the joke. But, you know, as I worked there, he said this to just about everyone. When you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. But what I noticed was the you was often different people. Could be anybody. But the me was always him. So after a while, I started saying, you know, when you assume, you make an ass out of you, variable, and Jim McGregor, the constant.
Yes. And he carried this to other workplaces where it was picked up by his coworkers and employees there, and they carried it to other workplaces, and now it's a thing.
It makes good logical sense when you think about it.
Because
he's the only one who ever said that. Nobody else said it.
And, well, probably not in the world. I mean, like,
well, no, in that workplace, he was the only one who ever said it.
Because it was stupid.
And I realized that if I wasn't aware of the joke, I might be watching this and saying, well, look, the you is always someone different, but the me is always him. So I guess when you assume, you make an ass out of you and Jim McGregor. So that's what I started saying, and that was the little story I told about why I said it. And I guess Tony picked it up, but I don't know of anyone else that's ever picked it up. But it would be funny if I was somewhere.
No, other people have picked it up.
If I was somewhere and someone said that And well, are people even going to know why they say that, or is it just going to be something
sometimes
people say?
Sometimes I explain it, sometimes I don't.
Poor Jim McGregor.
Not everybody necessarily has carried it on with the zeal that I have, but others have carried it on, I know.
Well, it amuses me, so I often do it. But I think most people look at me like I'm some kind of weirdo when I do it. You're the only person I know of that also seems to think it's funny.
Because people look at me as weird, and that's sort of my distinction. If people don't know me well enough, such that I say it, and they're like, "What the fuck?" I leave it because then it's just art at that point. But if they know me and they're like, oh, Tony's saying a weird thing, then I'm like, you know, I want to give you the story, the rich and varied history of the tale. And so then I explain it. Okay, we're way over an hour now.
I still think it's funny.
We should probably.
Well, thank you, Stuart, Anonymous, and Blood Sparrow.
Thank you, Stuart, Anonymous, and Blood Sparrow. When you have finally finished Mass Effect 3, Stuart, I hope you enjoy this episode. The rest of you can enjoy it as early as later tonight.
And if you...
What?
Thanks, Mark, for that card.
Oh, and thank you, Mark, for this baby Minnie Mouse card.
If it was Mark.
Or whoever. Thank you, second handwriting anonymous. person for Baby Mini Card. We appreciate it. It's nice, and it's a first birthday and a first real life mail for the hat.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's lovely.
But if anyone is interested in having their own question or comment read on the air, what should they do?
They should freaking email the freaking hat.
Yeah.
At themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Email there. Sign your name at the end if you want to. And the hat will vomit it out to us in whatever random order it chooses. And we will talk about it or something else until we're bored.
But you don't have to wait for us to draw something out of the hat to hear from us. Because you might want to let us know if you drive it like you stole it. Or
yes.
Make some other kind of comment.
And mock me and praise William. Process, which I'm heartily in favor of. Do that at our blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com.
Yes.
And for those of you, you know who you are, nobody, who really thinks my humor is the reason to listen to this show, you can get more of my humor on a more than daily basis by following me on Twitter at notquitetony. So follow me on Twitter, because a guy who just posted his first tweet today has more followers than me already.
Oh, come on.
He does. One tweet. More followers.
Because
he's Jonah Ray's brother, and Jonah Ray mentioned this.
Oh,
but still.
I see.
And
you can friend us on Facebook.
And you can like us on Facebook.
Or yeah, like us.
Like the Magical Talking Hat. You could also friend me, Anthony Parsons, on Facebook if you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You could like the Magical Talking Hat. You can't have anything to do with William, because William has forsaken Facebook.
I have withdrawn.
You can follow him on Twitter, but he literally has never tweeted, so.
No.
What the fuck?
And I probably won't.
Follow me on Twitter, though. I want more followers.
I'm a Luddite, I guess. Or is it pronounced Luddite?
At the Church of Quaaludes? Is that?
Or is it
it's Luddite. Luddite would be somebody who takes Quaaludes for religious reasons.
You think so?
I think so.
Huh.
Yeah,
you're probably right.
So now the question is the episode going to be called Devil's Hot Dog or You and Jim McGregor?
I think Devil's Hot Dog is
better. I like Devil's Hot Dog.
Yeah.
I like those ones that make them say, what the fuck? I need to listen to this right now and see what they're talking about. Devil's Hot Dog really counts. Because it's just on the edge where it sounds maybe dirty, but it doesn't sound bad enough that some people will be put off, I don't think.
No.
But we'll see. Okay.
Maybe it should be the McDevil's Hot. No.
Devil's McDog. No, then it gets weird.
I don't know.
Which is odd to say. Anyway, we will talk to you people next week.
Yep, next week.
Are you going to eat that?
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.